Moncrief on News Talk.
Have you never heard of Bill Fuller? Well, if you haven't, a new documentary about him launches at the IFI in Dublin tomorrow. Helpfully, it's called Have You Never Heard of Bill Fuller? And tells the story of a Kerry emigrant who became a major figure in music promotion and much else. David Burke is the director. David, good afternoon.
Hello, Sean. Good to talk to you.
So when Bill Fuller emigrated from Kerry over to London, and initially it wasn't music he was involved in, it was kind of more like building. He was in the building game.
Exactly. He was one of these thousands of Irishmen that went over to London that worked in the buildings there. And, you know, McAlpine's Fusiliers, we all know the song. That was Bill Fuller. He was only 17 years of age. And then this was in the late 30s. And when the World War happened, what Bill Fuller did is he started a demolition company because all these buildings that were partially bombed, they needed to come down. And what he did is he started bringing over Irishmen over to London because there was a labour shortage. And he quickly amassed a fortune doing that. There was actually a saying in London at the time about Bill Fuller, what Hitler didn't knock down, Bill Fuller did. So he made a fortune during the war. And we actually, when we were doing the doc, one of his first venues is called, it's, well, maybe a lot of your listeners might know it, it's called the Electric Ballroom in Camden Town.
Of course.
It's a famous music venue.
Yeah.
It was initially, that was his first dance hall. It was originally called, it was an Irish dance hall called the Buffalo. And when they were renovating it, they found kind of an old docket or receipt from his early building business. And it was Bill Fuller and Sons. And he had added the Sons because he was still only 20 at the time, kind of make himself seem older. But that in itself is the kind of character that he was. You know what I mean? He was always kind of thinking ahead and always working an angle.
Yeah. And after the Electric Ballroom, and it was kind of like, and people, I don't think he owned the Galtee Moor in Cricklewood, but that, you know, it was those kind of venues and they were very important.
Exactly.
To the Irish migrant population. Did he then like expand out and open up a few similar venues around England?
He did. The funny thing is the Galtee Moor was owned by a guy called John Byrne, and they both went to school together. So they both came actually from the same parish in Kerry, like literally the same parish. We're literally the same school, and they both owned the two biggest Irish dance halls in London at the time. But because Fuller knew he was bringing the workers over. So he knew that there was a demand for for the Irish to socialize. And they were actually, you know, it was a tough time to be Irish then. So it was important that they met their own.
Yeah.
So that's what he did. He knew where the Irish communities were gathered, and he started doing the exact same thing that he did in London.
Yeah.
So he had a place in Manchester, he had a place in Birmingham, and like the place in Manchester, it's kind of has a similar history to the Electric Ballroom. I mean, that's where the Gallagher brothers from Oasis, that's where their parents met. You know, it subsequently became an international tour, it was called, and that's where bands like the Stone Roses would have played. You know, so it's interesting, all the venues that he had, there a lot of them became really significant, really renowned venues in the music industry as a whole.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how to phrase this exactly, but Bill, even though he was kind of, I don't know, he liked to stay out of the limelight, he liked women, let's put it that way.
That's for sure. Yeah, he did. He did like women. you mentioned like when he had this, there was a kind of repeating behavior throughout his life where he just seemed to leave families. And the first time he left was actually his home family in Kerry. Why he originally went to Kerry, went for London was because he had a fight with his father. He was going to buy a farm, and his father, he was too young to get a loan out, and his father wouldn't guarantee the loan. So he just left the family. And when he left, he never came back. He did come back, but he could come back to Kerry for the Listowel races, but he mightn't tell his family that he was back.
Wow.
You know, that's just the way he was. When he did something, there was no coming back. He had this something like almost pathological. Like when he went forward, he just did not revisit the past at all. He got married in London and he left. He met a singer from Dublin called Carmen Quinn. And, you know, this was the 1950s. They had their divorce was illegal. It was a big scandal. So they took flight and they went to America. And I hadn't heard, I'm 47. I hadn't heard of Carmen Quinn before I started researching this. And Carmen Quinn, like there's a book or a documentary to be done on Carmel Quinn as well, because what she did in herself was amazing. They went to America in 1954. They had a young child, and she entered a singing competition called the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scouts. And that was the equivalent of the X Factor or one of these shows now. And she won it. So she becomes a superstar in her own right. So and her career takes off, and she's suddenly on the Ed Sullivan Show, and she's a big star in America. So it's just, yeah, he just kept, and then he kind of, with that family, he subsequently left them. He kind of drifted away and just kept going again, and they didn't hear from him for years. So yeah, he just had something. It was just really strange. Why did it behave this way? It's strange, you know.
Yeah, it is. But in the time in the States, then he was there was a lot of. I mean, he seemed to do a lot of work for Irish show bands to help break them in parts of the States, particularly Las Vegas. Yeah. But also huge names in music in the US that he was a music promoter for.
Exactly. So he kind of repeated the formula in the USA that he had in the UK. He initially started buying dance halls for the Irish. And then when Carmel Quinn, when her career took off, that kind of elevated him to a different level because he already knew how to promote. But now he was mixing in these different circles. And so he started promoting like the biggest acts in the day. You're talking Johnny Cash, Nina Simone, Billie Holiday, Willie Nelson. But when Johnny Cash came to Ireland in 1963, it was Bill Fuller that brought him over. We have like this little sound snippet from Johnny Cash playing in San Francisco in 1963. And it's a venue called the Carousel, which was Fuller's venue. And he just says, the last time we played here was before we went to tour in Ireland for Mr. Bill Fuller. So Fuller, like that was the level that he was at. He was promoting the biggest names in, you know, the biggest market in the world at the time. He never went small. It was always big.
Yeah. Now, the extraordinary thing about this is that, as I understand it, you had great difficulty finding footage of Bill Fuller, that despite all of this success, and, you know, the title of your documentary is well named in this respect, that he wasn't that well known and seemed to want to keep it that way.
I think my own theory on it is that, I mean, it was a different generation. And, you know, when you were successful back then, you know, there was a tendency to always be a bit of a cute whore about it. You didn't draw, you know, you didn't draw attention to yourself. Why? I mean, it was seemed prudent to keep quiet, you know, don't be bragging or drawing heat on yourself. And that's kind of that's the way he operated. He didn't make a fuss about himself. He just got on with business. And he would have, if when he had a contract with promoters or different promoter, different acts, if he got his way, he would, there was no contracts. Everything was done in the handshake. So you could, if things soured, you know, you could get out of the deal quickly that way. That was the way he kind of did business. But he never, ever strayed. When he could at all, he kept out of the limelight. He was the guy putting on the bands, and he was the guy that owned the venues as well.
Yeah, and now, I mean, notwithstanding the children he had in various locations, as I understand it, the Electric Ballroom's still there, and doesn't one of his children run it still?
Yeah, the Electric Ballroom was still there. It was his first venue, and he started selling off a lot of his venues in around the 80s, maybe late 70s, early 80s. But he always wanted to hold on to the Electric Ballroom. So his daughter, Kate, still runs it. And it's still a very successful music venue. There's still like the Fontaines, for example. You know, that's funny. Like there's this kind of through line from the early Irish bands that played through from Tin Lizzy. And now like bands like the Fontaines launched their last album there. You know, so it's still a really hot, really vibrant music venue. And it is run by Kate. Yes, right.
Yeah, indeed. It's an extraordinary story. David, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was David Burke there, director of Have You Never Heard of Bill Fuller, that will screen tomorrow night in the IFI in Dublin.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.